Welcome, everybody, to issue 114 for the Mighty Mighty Heroes Asylum. My name is Mike. I am your host.
And we should get the Mighty Mighty Boston's to do them.
Funny you should say that, dude. The last 3 weeks, I have been on a Boston's kick. That's so funny you say that. I've been listening to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Before I went,
I was a big Boston guy when they came out. I kind of dug their. They were like the ska. Scott, part of the Scott movement,
I think.
I think they came around the same time No Doubt did, because No Doubt.
They both were around for a while, like kind of underground and stuff, and then they both kind of hit at the same time, because that's when the Scott movement came in. But yeah, just before I got hit with COVID, I was listening to them, and then when I was in the hospital, I discovered TikTok, and I discovered, rediscovered the Mighty Mighty Boston's, which
I'm sure that the people, tons of people are playing Boston's songs in their TikTok videos. And just,
oh no, it wasn't because of that. It was just I just happened to come across it on like YouTube or something. It popped up as a song. I'm like, oh, hey. Oh, and,
okay.
You know, and I was like, and it wasn't even like, you know, the impression I get. It was like one of the older ones. And I'm like, oh man, I haven't heard this one in forever. And just kind of took me back to the 90s and early 2000s. And, you know, I just enjoyed scone out for a little bit. But guys, welcome, like we were saying, to Heroes Asylum. Make sure you guys do check us out on our Facebook page, and where you'll see the links to all the news that we send out and stuff that we're doing on other channels have. Yeah, we have Midnight Movies that is linked to the Heroes Asylum Network, as well as Kane's little baby with him and our friend Hotshot, where they discuss the most recent wrestling news. If anybody is into wrestling, check that out at Low Blows and Chair Shots. If anybody's interested in any of these, just look at the description down at below. It doesn't matter where you're at, Facebook, YouTube, or podcast. You'll see the links to both the shows.
Yeah, like and share. And, you know, if you want to join us, you know, let me know. Just DM me or Mike directly through the Heroes of Silent podcast or Low Blows and Chair Shots. I'm sure Hotshot will get it too. So,
yep. So, yeah. So man, what a fun week we had last week. For me, at least, I know, because, well, it was Star Wars week. I understand it's only, you know, May the 4th, and of course, if you're, you know, really hardcore, it's, you know, Revenge of the 5th the next day. But
somebody tell me it was Revenge of the 6th.
It's Revenge of the 6th because Cinco de Mayo. That's the reason it's Revenge of the 6th. It's technically Revenge of the 5th.
It's supposed to be Revenge of the 5th.
Right. But no, but people started making the joke that, well, Cinco de Mayo happened, you know, on that, you know, I think last year, and it became, you know, Revenge of the 6 because you're hungover, but yeah. But that has nothing to do with Star Wars, folks. In fact, has nothing to do with Mexico. But that's nothing, another show.
Nothing, which is remarkable. When people say, oh, Cinco de Mayo, like, that's one of those holidays that, to me, they didn't jump on for myself personally to like maybe 10 years ago. Like, I'd heard of it, but I'd listen. Oh yeah, we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo. Like, what? Cinco? What is that? Like, is that like Day of the Dead Day in Mexico? And then, you know, people get hardcore into it. But
because it gives us Americans any excuse to drink.
Get hammered. More in.
Yep.
America.
Yeah. I think about 10 years ago, I was the same way. I got hooked because I was working in the bar industry. And that's kind of, you know, before that, I didn't give two craps. And honestly, I don't care now. So last week, you know, yes, it was really, you know, just, you know, May the 4th. And, but Bad Batch got released. We were told we were not getting any more Clone Wars, and we really aren't. I saw a post today about it where somebody's like, well, they said they were not giving us any more Clone Wars. And this isn't at Clone Wars. This is the end of the Clone Wars. This is post Clone Wars. And now, you know, who we always rooted for are kind of now the bad guys. You know, this is the basic of the show picks up literally, you know, a day after Order 66, actually during Order 66, because you get to see, you get to actually meet a young Kanan from Rebels in the beginning of that. So a lot of folks have been asking, you know, what should I watch? Should I watch Clone Wars? Should I watch Rebels? I would say just watch Clone Wars. Yeah, it's kind of cool that Kanan's there, but it really doesn't have much to do with the overall story. I think that's a great Easter egg from Filoni, where that he was able to drop that in for us, you know, and it's close to the original, to what was Kanan. There was a comic book out about Kanan and his master and what happened during the Order 66. So it's not that far off of the original. Bad Batch just was not there. That's the only difference. So, but I know you said
now we get to see Bad Batch. So
A lot of things have changed. Echo's on there. We get to see that. We get to revisit some old folks. I mean, it's only been two episodes, but they've been two long episodes. I think each one was about an hour a piece.
Really?
And, and we're looking at 16 episodes this season. So
really. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I didn't think they were going to get that many.
Me either. I thought they were going to do the smaller run. But no, it looks like 16 episodes for the season, which I think is great because what we're seeing, and I'm not trying to give anything more away than I really have, and but what we're watching is the true birth of the Empire. We're watching the Republic die. You know, and then we're watching as the universe and the galaxy is getting adjusted to now being under this rule. So there are some really great scenes with that happening. You know, them having to get a number to even travel or to walk around. And you're just seeing the Clone Wars. You're seeing Tarkin debate whether the clones are needed anymore. And you're seeing the Kaminos and we're introduced to a new character, a young girl, Omega. She is hinted at being a clone, but not. I guess this is kind of a fan theory thing that I don't know if it started to drum up, but I started thinking about it. She really doesn't look like the clones, you know, and I understand they can make clones and then change the sex if they want, but I have a feeling she's not a clone of Jango.
No, I think it's just like an offshoot or somebody else did it.
I'm thinking the Emperor.
You thinking the Emperor? Mate, ooh.
We don't know much about his kids other than what we learned about in Skywalker. And we don't know were his child actually a physical, mom and dad getting it on, or was it a clone? Because, in the Legends series, and they've really kind of borrowed some things from Legends, Palpatine cloned himself, and I wonder if that's kind of what's happening. But again, we don't know anything. We haven't gotten any hints of anything, but Omega just doesn't look like a clone. When you remember back, when you were watching the Clone Wars and you saw Jango walking around with all the kid clones, doesn't look like it. So that's why I'm kind of questioning it.
That's a good theory to throw out there. I mean, like you said, there's tons of lore they can use during this time period now. Like you said, it's after Order 66. So there's no prerequisite. I won't say they have like a blank slate to do anything they want.
They sort of do. They sort of do.
But they kind of do. Yeah, because it's really, this is kind of uncharted territory. And plus, when you told me about the Bad Batch, this is going back. I forgot what season Clone Wars they showed him.
Last season, the very last season. It was season 7. It was the first, the first three episodes.
I thought they showed him somewhere else. Those three episodes, a little arc they had, that were kind of cool. I was like, I like these guys. They're freaking mercs. They don't fit in. They're just doing what they want. I'm like, I hope they would do something with them. I didn't think they would get a green light series, but hey.
They were, it was a big deal.
Disney Plus, so,
They were a big deal. They were something fresh, something different. And again, a kind of a continuation of the Clone Wars, which we all wanted. I know the Clone Wars fans were like, oh man, this is it. Season 7's it, but we're still able to we're getting more. And again, it's coming from Filoni, who is basically, honored to continue and hold the torch.
I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off. I was just thinking about the last season of Clone Wars, how it had a certain feel. Like, these had these mini arcs, with the Bad Batch. But when we got closer to like actually the Order 66, how everything changed, like even the titles changed to red, and it was very cinematic.
The whole season 7 was red for the Clone Wars. Yeah, that whole season was that way. But yeah, it was in that moment, when you see at the very end, guys, if you haven't seen it, it's been out 2 years, but the very last, scene you really see is you find Vader finding Ahsoka's saber on this planet that's just covered with ice and it's buried under snow. So, it's been there a while and you just have that moment.
Do you think you're going to see Vader and the Emperor again, maybe in Bad Batch?
I don't know if they stick to canon. Got to realize where's Vader at right now?
He's hunting down the Jedi's.
Exactly. Not only that, but at this very moment, he's hunting that one Jedi that was on that dam that got exiled. Remember, he's on the mission to find a Jedi, take his saber, and corrupt it.
And corrupt the saber to make the
yeah. Because if we go back to the Vader, yeah. So that's where he is at now. So I don't know if we'd see him other than in passing. But I think the Bad Batch is trying to stay under the radar. So I think that's what we're going to see more, is them being under the radar. They may hear from somebody else, you know.
Tarkin.
Well, they've already dealt with Tarkin in the first episode, but no, I meant maybe somebody in the Rebels. We are introduced to somebody that shows up in Rogue One. We've already been seeing somebody else. Like I said, so far, two episodes, they've shown, you know, they've given us great Easter eggs along the way. So
how about the overall tone of the show? Is it similar to Rebels or Clone Wars? Does it have that vibe, or does something? Does it have
different.
The vibe?
It's got that underlining feel to it, but because it's no longer, they're now basically the A team. They're running for their lives. They're hiding out. They're not registered clones. You know. So yeah. So it's kind of got that feel that it's still the clones. It's still that jokiness and everything that Bad Batch had. But like I said, now the clones that we're so used to, now they're the bad guys. You know, now they're the mindless soldiers that are following suit.
Hmm. Well, like I said, it popped up. I'm definitely going to have to check it out.
Oh, yeah. Really good. Yeah, no, it's real, really good. Real good show. You were saying I hadn't gotten a chance to finish it, but what about Invincible? We finished up the season with that. What do you think?
I loved it. They went places I didn't think they would go. And they not only did it, but they trumped it. Which is something hard to do. The comic, I love the comic. I thought it was really cool. I didn't think we were going to get to the moments that we got to this season. I thought they were kind of hold that off. But, you know, they said, no way. It almost kind of reminds me of season one of The Flash. Like, I didn't think we would get the Reverse Flash in season one. And we got it, right? So Invincible is like, hey, we're going to have the father and son. We're not next season. No, they're going to fight this season. That's what I was crazy. And the fight itself was heartstrings pulling at you every single time, and just showing these two powerful omni beings, one on the other side of the spectrum, the other complete different, you know, one basically, hey man, humanity, he's half human. So he's, of course he's going to be for the humans, but his father, total disregard for him, doesn't care for them. He's an elitist. They're above them. The scene that is crazy is basically when Invincible is trying to save these people from the building. And eventually he's trying, he thinks he got it, but you know, his father comes through, blows up the building, and you can see him holding up just an arm of that person that he was trying to help. That, or the scene where actually his father slamming him to the train and all those bodies exploding and his guts flying everywhere. I'm like, wow, they went there. But like that scene where he's just beating on him, about to kill him, and then he just flashes back thinking, oh, I remember when he was a kid, and that was the last bit of humanity that Omni-Man had left in him. And then he just flies off and, you know, he talks to Alan the alien and we go on and so forth. But just a powerful ending to a great season. It has been greenlit for 2 and 3. We talked about last week. I'm not sure where that's going to air. Probably sometime next year. If they started this year, I'll say next year we'll get to see those. But I love the series. I think as far as animation wise, it was amazing. And if we're going to see more of that on Amazon, because I think they're going to do more animation stuff, I hope they stick to this animation. I mean, I'm not sure about the format. You can't have violence in every animation, but the way they did it, they took those pages and those panels and they put them on the screen, and visually it was just eye-popping to me. I couldn't believe how good it was. I was shocked. And the way they made Omni-Man just terrifying. He's not Homelander. Homelander's just a psycho. Omni-Man is a trained fighter. He's a warrior. So he knows what he's doing. I mean, as he talked about in his speech, when he's talking about his son, about the Veltramites, basically saying, hey, man, we're trained. You know how we did it, basically? We killed the weaker versions of ourselves. And that's how we rose to Stromness and Prince, and they ruled throughout the galaxy. So I can't wait to see more of it through season 2 or 3. But to me, fantastic. Went above and beyond my expectations.
Very cool. So now you were saying that like they went a little different than what you thought they would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it not follow? Like, does it like overlap in the comic book? Does it go to the?
There's a couple things they introduced this season that they didn't get to till like later on, like the stuff with the robot where he becomes a kid, that doesn't happen till like later on, and they did it now. That's one. But I think that they're definitely going to set up, if you guys have never read the book, something else happens. Invincible ends up having a brother. I think that's where they're going to go with next year. I'm not sure. I'm just guessing. His brother's Oliver. Basically, he's a half alien, something that his father met in his travels, a Beast Blue. So I'm not sure if they're going to bring him in, but they pretty much stayed the course. They brought a couple things in differently that I think they brought in a little bit early, but again, not so much a D-track that I was going to be like, oh, wait a minute, that's too early. No.
Well, they sort of did that with The Boys. When they did The Boys, they drifted over into the second series with certain storylines, or one storyline specifically. And I've noticed that they've done that. They've even done that with I'm a huge, massive fan of The Expanse, and they sort of, you know, did that where they introduced a character a little bit earlier in the story than what it is in the book, but it worked, you know. So because that was one of those ones, you know, when I went back and reread the first book for Expanse, I was like, wait a second, no, she didn't. The president or the prime minister, this woman, this really powerful, awesome woman. I was like, and she wasn't there that early. And I had to go back and read and saw that. So I think Prime, Amazon really knows what it's doing when they get their guys together, get those people together, those production companies, and they do make a little slight change, modifications, but they seem to work great every time.
Yeah, they're kicking an ass. And I think they're doing MODOK as well, right?
Is that no, MODOK is actually on Hulu.
Oh, okay. But that one looks pretty cool too.
Oh yeah, MODOK looks great. Yeah, I have to.
It looks. I mean, come on, Oswald, Patton Oswald as MODOK, dude. Yeah. I mean, that's
can't go wrong.
You cannot go wrong. Automatically, you've hit a home run by casting him as MODOK. And the few scenes I've seen of it, it just looks so ridiculous that I have to watch it.
Yeah,
especially with MODOK. I mean, he's one of my favorite. Hopefully, they'll introduce him eventually in the MCU. But yeah,
we may not. I mean, because they've already got him. So yeah, they may not, you know, bother introducing him. That's best time to start telling new stories. And speaking of the MCU, you see, they released a couple of new titles this week.
Yeah, Marvel released a little sizzle reel. Yep. And we got some titles for upcoming movies. I'm sure you have it right in front of you.
Yeah, I've got Black Panther 2.
Those are the titles, and we'll just say, you know.
Yep, we got Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, which I think is awesome.
Great title. I love it. Not sure where they're going story-wise. I think I had an opinion. I told you this. I really wish they would bring back the Black Panther character. I think there's still a lot for him to do. Ideally, they're probably going to get past the Shuri, which is fine. But I just think there's more to T'Challa, man, that we just don't.
There is, but unfortunately, life, you know, has its way of getting in the way of some things.
I just wish they could find a way to bring, like, you know, you have you literally have Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, right? Why not one of these, in a scene there that he travels to another, he sees another Black Panther and he brings him back there. Maybe that Wakanda has been destroyed and he has done all he could. And I don't know.
Marvel's too close as a family, really, when it comes to their actors, that they would never dishonor him.
I know.
They would never, but I've heard his family is okay with them, you know, replacing. Like, they're like, you know, you guys have shown him the love and giving him honor, you know. There's I think I finally out at Disney, they actually put out a statue, you know, for him. So there's a lot that they've done, and like I said, I think it's just that especially Kevin, I think he's got a heart with it, you know. And like, the only reason they would really replace somebody unless they really screwed up, and we've only seen that one time really in all of the MCU, you know. And that's just, it was early on, and I don't even think Disney was involved at that time with Cheadle. I think that was still pre Disney.
No, that's pre Disney. Yeah, that was. I guess I forget that man. That was so long ago. I know it was over money, but go figure. But yeah, that was that, and the Edward Norton thing too. That was also pre Disney. So
yeah.
Yeah, they haven't really done too, you know.
Well, I think Norton wasn't so much any, like, confrontation. I think it was just that they felt they needed a player to be part of an ensemble cast. And they just didn't think he he would fit with that. So we also got news for Captain Marvel 2 will be called The Marvels. So I like that idea, the title at least. You know, I'm assuming, again, we're really only guessing right now that they're going to bring in Kamala Khan. I'm in Valina's character after her show. So, you know, I'm thinking that they're going to do the show. And then probably, because I know they're filming right now, which great pictures. I posted.
I've seen those. Yeah. You seen the sneakers? Those sneakers are pretty cool, yeah, man.
Yep.
Those sneakers are really cool. So they give it to Marvel. I mean, it's just amazing that nowadays we're getting these comic accurate suits from the comics. Like literally, I mean, slight changes here and there, but pretty much spot on. No more of the days of just the black leather. No, we can't. Those costumes are silly. They're too bright. Now we're just getting.
We're actually getting it. Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting those costumes.
So somebody made a joke about, you know, the comic book accurate costumes, and then they showed a picture of Wolverine in the yellow, and I'm still like, I just don't know if that would work though. It just still looks weird, like live.
They would really have to convince me on that one. That does look a little weird.
Yeah,
because we saw it in that one X-Men movie. What was it? Wolverine or something?
Yeah, right at the very end.
He opens a briefcase and he just closes it. That's all.
I mean, to me, I thought that was great. That's what we wanted. We saw it. We know it exists. I don't need to see it because I just think it's strange.
Would look silly. Yeah, it would just look silly.
Because when you really think about it, other than like First Class and I think the very first X-Men, they really never got in costume. They were just in their street clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, to me, it's like, you know, when you know, danger breaks out, I'm not going to go change. No, I'm going to go get into it, you know?
You mean you're not going to go to like a Walmart bathroom? And just
hold on. Let me get my booties on and put my... but while details are in the plot for The Marvels is still under wraps, of course, we do know Brie will be there. Again, like I said, I'm in Valani's Zowie Ashton, who is currently unknown in her role, as well as, I'm going to butcher her first name, Tiana Paris for Monica Rambeau. So we do know she'll be back.
Yeah, Monica's going to be back.
Which I can't wait. I hope we finally get that moment that a lot of us want
to know. I want to know what's the beef between them two, man. Because they got beef.
Well, I think was that she left, for starters. And somebody, was it you that made the comment that maybe like she felt like her mother got cancer because of being around that?
Yeah, that's what I said.
But again, that doesn't make any sense because then Monica would have gotten it too. So I think it just might be just that the abandonment.
I guess. I mean, I just want to find out. I just want to see that scene where they actually confronted like just face to face.
Yeah.
Where the hell you been, damn it? Like, I don't know. I'm just explaining.
And of course, you know, we still are getting the Black Widow is finally coming out. Still want to see it. And also, Loki is getting bumped up as well. It was previously debuting on June 11th, but it's been moved up 2 extra days. Don't know why. Not sure. Yeah.
Sooner.
Yeah.
How many episodes is it? Said how many they're doing? Is it 11?
Most likely it's going to be your normal. So far, Marvel has been eight.
Eight.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, WandaVision was eight. Falcon and Winter Soldier was eight. Even the Star Wars stuff, if you really want to look at it, those all were eight.
Oh, Mandalorian was eight, yeah.
So it looks like that's kind of Disney's formula, which perfectly fine. I think, you know, that's just fine. So they're moving it from the standard Friday release, which would have been June 11th, to a Wednesday release. Not sure the thought process behind the change, but hey.
It is earlier, so I can't wait. It's only a couple weeks away if you think about it. Our next Marvel series. That's going to be fun. What else do they have on there?
That was pretty much it for the changes, yeah. And of course, the sizzle reel. If you guys, you know, just get on YouTube. Actually, I think we posted it earlier last week when they released it. It kind of starts off with, you know, a lot of clips that we've already seen, but it's leading into.
Oh, come on! You did not get a little cough in your throat when hearing Stan Lee doing that narration with the sizzle reel. He's like, the girl to your left, that's your sister. God, that's your bro. I got choked up.
Well, that's you. You know me. I'm heartless sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, that's why.
I got choked up when you know other moments with Stan. I've moved on. I've accepted and I go forward. So,
okay, thanks. Heartless bastard.
Hey, you said I was the villain. I'm playing the villain.
And you play that role well.
So, what do you got? Since I've kind of hogged the mic.
What do I got here? Oh, I got it pulled up. This is going to be interesting. I know you don't watch Batwoman anymore, but season two dropped the first picture of Morgan Khan as Stephanie Brown, which I did not know they were going to intro Stephanie Brown. If you guys don't know, she actually becomes spoiler.
That's what I was going to say. Are they going spoiler route with this one?
Or does she go back? It doesn't say, but it just shows her. Yeah, Stephanie Brown, and she's pictured here with a guy who plays Luke Fox, and she will be in episode 12, 13.
Now, I have to ask you, have you been keeping up with Batwoman at all?
Actually, I have. Punishing myself.
Okay, are penises still bad?
Yes, penises are still
okay,
bad.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I've just noticed that a few of the DC shows, if you have a penis, you're bad and you're an evil person, and or you're a geek. So I'm just like, that's why I have trouble watching it.
You can't be tough, you know.
I understand, and I completely support it. I love strong women. I love strong female characters in these, but it's like when they come out, it's like, okay, the strong women are there, and anything with those chromosomes are evil and just pieces of shit. And I was like, I understand. Just bring them up together. It's called unity. Let's do it together. I understand it didn't used to be that way. We're that way now.
They're doing some weird things with the male characters this season. I mean, they've intro Black Mask, and from what I've seen of him, he's been pretty solid. But like every other male character, like you said, Luke Fox, still in that tech area. One of the dumbest tech guys I've ever met in my life. I'm sorry. No offense, man. But Jesus, like the stuff, I didn't know that was there. Like, what do you mean you didn't know that was there?
Just what do you do?
What do you do? You literally sit in that cave all day. What do you mean you know the Batmobile was right there? You couldn't figure that out? And the, what's his name? Jacob Kane. Now he's a drug addict. It's really? So strange. Yeah, he's a drug addict. Now he's taking this drug. It's called like snake bite. But I guess he takes it just to relive the memories of his daughters when they were younger. Because I guess he has guilt over that with Beth and everything that happened. But now he's a freaking straight up junkie, and he has no idea what's going on. Like, oh, I don't care what's going on. Just shooting up every episode. I'm like, what is going on with the male characters in this show? Just like they're basically just throwing them aside.
But like I said, that's why I asked, are penises still bad on the show? That's
because not only are they bad, they're obsolete. So, but we're getting Stephanie Brown, so there is hope. And I like Stephanie Brown. Hopefully they treat her with a little bit more respect.
Yeah. Like I said, every show has been treated well. All the characters have been treated well. Even brand new characters have come in and been treated well. Just something about Batwoman that just like, I don't know what it is. It's like, just show the respect and show the history of those characters. I do understand they had a bad hiccup at the end of last season. So,
well, they brought Kate back and
they did bring her back.
They brought Kate back, which I'm glad they did. I mean, I'm not sure where her story is going to go wise this year. I mean, I hope.
My understanding was she wasn't that long. She's not long for this, not for the storyline.
I think that's a mistake, man. I really do. Because there's so much more to tell with Kate Kane than there is with Ryan Page. No offense.
I think they're moving on. That's the one thing I read when they first brought, when they announced that they were bringing this actress in, was she's only here to sort of, since they didn't have that opportunity to put a bow and end the story of Kate, that's what she's there for, is to do that and move on. Because again, a lot of people are going to be pissed as to, then why'd you even bring this girl in if you're going to hire some other chick? Why didn't you just wait 2 months, get your casting right, and then bring her in and say, hey, we just recasted her. And I bet you everybody would have been fine. But they can't, they can't bring her. They can't have like this girl in here for a month and then bring in Kate Kane again to just replace her. So I just, everything I've read is like,
I think they're trying to cover their own ass
in a way,
made a mistake, man. They made it. Me and you both said they made a mistake. Like, no offense, but there was more story to tell with Kate Kane than there is with Ryan Page. And I guess their feeling is, let's just make up a character, bring it in, and we can do whatever the hell we want instead of being tied down to lore. And I get it, but I guess there's just more with Kate to do, but
there is. But like I said, I think all she's here for, and everything that I read at the beginning when she came in, was she's just there, just to wrap up Kate's story, and basically do what should have been done. I mean, I understand. Goodness, I just drew a blank on her name. The original
Ruby Rose.
Ruby Rose. I understand she was done, but I think I don't know, as a person, just a me working for a company, you know, if I know I'm leaving, hey, listen, I'm done with you guys. But if you need me to stick around to like help the new person, I'm going to stick around and then I'm out. And I just think that's kind of a bad way of exiting. She could have said, hey, listen, let me get you guys, wrap up my story. I'm done though. I don't want to be here. I'm going to give you 4 weeks to wrap up my story and I'm out. She could have done that. Everybody would have been happy, not everybody, but you know, the story would have been at least comfortably wrapped up. But like I said, I think they're playing catch up with her dropping out quickly, and they still want to wrap up her story. And so, but CW again, man, we're getting news. Deadline reports: Tom Cavanaugh and Carlos Valdez bouncing.
Yep.
From Flash at the end of this season.
Yeah, they're gone, man. They are out of here. Adios. It sucks because I've always thought the Cisco character was basically the audience inside the Flash. Yep. He's like the fanboy.
He was the one in on the inside of every joke. He knew every, and we all like, okay, you're good, you're good.
You know, and he came up with the nicknames. The villains, which I thought was really cool. And then when somebody actually gave a villain to a nickname to a villain and just stole it from him, he'd get pissed, which I kind of like. He's like, wait a minute, that name doesn't make any sense. Yep. And Cavanaugh has been like the MVP of that show also for us. I mean, you think of the many different iterations of Wells.
Oh, God, yeah.
So many good. I'm a big fan of Wizard Wells. Gandalf Wells, that was kind of funny.
I think my favorite episodes are always the ones where he had to meet up with his different versions in that one room.
Oh, the Council of Wells.
Yeah, the Council of Wells. I love those episodes. And he is like the MVP because, you know, between Thawne, Reverse Flash, Wells, or whatever version of Wells you got each season. I loved him. I thought he was great.
I thought he was fantastic as Thawne in season one. And, you know, Matt Leishner, who plays a version of Thawne also very well. But the OG being freaking Tom, he was – I mean, later on in the seasons when he played Reverse Flash, I felt his performance kind of, like, dipped a little bit. It wasn't as tight as season one, and I get it because you're not playing that character all the time. But still, I mean, it's going to suck losing them both. I'm not sure how long Flash is going to be on after this, to be honest. I mean,
that's what my next question was for you. How long do you think is left?
I think now to me, the writing's in the wall because people are leaving. People are like, you taking two big parts of that cast out. I mean, they're bringing new people in, and the characters they brought in so far, I think it's this tech guy and this other girl that was with Nashwell's. They're not bad, but now you're taking some of the heart and soul out of that show. And those are the tough ones to replace. And I don't know. I don't know. I just, to me, I would just wrap it up. Season 8. I mean, Supergirl's finishing. Black Lightning's finishing its runs. And, you know, they're bringing in new CW shows to replace them. You know, we've had...
You got Stargirl coming out. You've got Naomi coming in. And I think that's the only ones I can think of.
Well, you got Superman and Lois now.
Lois, yeah, which should be back next week. Next Tuesday it comes back the 18th. So
I look forward to that. So, but yeah, I think the writing's on the wall for Flash now.
I do know Grant is up contracted up to season 8, and I know the other cast members, Candace Patton and Danielle Panbacker, are in negotiations for deals to return right now. So at least we know at least one more season, maybe season 8, season 9 will wrap up. I mean, you're talking almost a decade playing these characters and telling these stories. I there's not a lot more, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to think. I mean, there's really not much more. You've told Crisis. You've told a version of Flashpoint, which wasn't really Flashpoint, but whatever. I think now it's just time to wrap it up. And the best way to me to wrap it up is that Barry becomes the Flash that we saw in season 1 during the during the flashback where Thawne and him come and they fight.
Yeah.
That's right. That's to me where it should end.
Yeah.
Like he actually becomes that Flash of the future and he meets that Thawne and like they begin their rivalry and you just end it the way it began.
Well, we have the chance with that because I mean, this season we're being introduced into, you know, to Kid Flash, Bart Allen's coming in, Impulse. What do you think about the casting for Jordan Fisher? What'd you think about that? And did you see the suits?
The suit looks really, it's again, spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on. It's going to be fun. I mean, I know a lot about Bart Allen. I think I saw him a couple episodes of, wasn't he on Young Justice or was it?
Yeah. Yeah, he was there for Young Justice. He was always, you know, in Crash.
But it's cool to see him, and I think they're bringing their daughter back, XR,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, she's coming back. Yeah, the scene one of the scenes I have that we posted was Flash, Jesse, and Impulse. My only thing, and again, it's just, you know, you have yours, you know, you're like, you know, I just a little bit younger, I think, would have been better, you know, and that's like my biggest thing. And I'm not, I know the suits, again, this is one of those suits being accurate. I don't know. It's too accurate. I don't know. It looks weird. Yeah, to me, it looks weird.
With a little hair sticking out of the head. It's almost like Gambit-like or something.
Well, it does. Yeah, I mean, yes, Impulse has hair sticking out of his head, but because he's Caucasian, it's got that flip over. This one, it's just an afro going straight up.
Yeah. There's a lot of things I can say, but hey, we're getting Impulse.
Yeah.
So let's see how fun it's going to be. And apparently from what I read also, they're cutting these Flash seasons in half, like into chapters, I guess, like what they have, like 22 episodes a season or 20.
Well, I think some of that happened because of COVID. I do know that.
From what they did it last year, they would have like what they call chapters, like the first half, like Once Upon a Time on ABC used to do this, like their first 10 episodes was a certain arc. That arc would end, and they would pick up with another arc, a different villain, the second half of the season. That's what they're doing with Flash. So they're doing it. If you haven't watched this season yet, they're doing like the deities almost, like, you know, they're dealing with knowledge, speed, strength, like all these, like the Speed Force is out there. It's a physical embodiment now, but she has to fight these other forces of, you know, street. I think it's speed, strength, wisdom, intel, something like that.
So she's fighting Shazam?
No, but she should be. Strength of Solomon.
Pretty much. He's fighting strength, speed, and what else. So.
Pretty much finally all the versions of Shazam out there. But so far it's been pretty decent when I've seen a couple of episodes, but nothing's really hooking me yet. I really wanted to end this because from what I heard from the showrunner this season, they're going to bring back a villain they used already in the past season for the second half, and I don't know who that is. I don't think it's going to be Reverse Flash. They said somebody from the first three seasons they're bringing back.
First three.
Yeah. And I'm like, so they're going to bring back Zoom? Savitar? I mean,
But don't forget, you also had your sub-villains, too, that were there for like an episode or two. So you don't have to go with the main overarching one. You could go back to Freeze. What if he came back just for, you know, for just a little goodbye kind of nod? I know he's kind of moving on. They both are, actually. I think Dominic's, I think, moving on as well.
Yeah, they just wrapped up season six of Legends this past week.
So that's just crazy to think that's gone for six seasons. I think everybody thought that show was just going to just trash.
I thought it was straight trash. I was like, this is stupid. But actually, it's been it's probably been the funnest CW show couple of years.
It's been the best one yet for the last, I want to say the last 3 years. And I'm sorry, Olivia, if I upset you when I say this. Olivia's in the chat here talking about Arrow and stuff. But yeah, I think the last three years, Legends has just knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah, it has.
Like, with the character growth, with new characters or technically old characters coming back, you know, introducing you and I mean, we're Constantine Mark. So when they brought, you know, when they brought Matt Ryan back in, we're like, oh yeah, we're on board for that. They address the LGBT community better than any of the other shows do. You know, they're just there. They're there. They're gay. They're bi. They're whatever those characters are. They're there. They don't make a production about it, which I know, like, at least Supergirl, you know, did it a lot.
What are you talking about? A lot? They're still doing it.
Again, I stopped watching Supergirl about three seasons ago.
They're still doing the same thing.
And it's just like, I just, something about it, it's, you know, it's just like, it to me, it was almost like very much real life. We have gay friends. We have bi friends. They don't wave it in our face. They're just our friends, and we talk to them, and we hang out, you know?
I don't see people walking around, hey, I'm gay. Oh, hi, what's up, man? I'm like, okay.
Just to me, Legends feels just natural. It feels normal. So, I mean, I understand the other ones want to draw attention to these things, but I think Legends does the same thing. It draws attention to it, but not, you know, screaming about it and getting in the way of the actual story. That, and then, you know, I'm sure there's some folks out there that'll completely disagree with me, but that's completely fine. But, you know, I think Legends, and not just with that side of the story, but I think their overall storytelling and that they delve into the DC, you know, universe much, much better.
And they don't take themselves seriously, which I love. There's always like moments of humor in that show. You have some dark moments, but you got humor also. But they find a way to balance it out. And like I said, a show that I didn't believe was going to stick around. You look at it; it's almost their cast revolves around almost every season, literally for the longest time. I think lately it hasn't, but like cast members will drop off and they'll add other ones on. But pretty much like the one who stayed the course, Katie Lotz, has been there like the longest now. I think she's the OG.
And they do that same thing too, but sometimes you know, somebody won't be there for three episodes, but they'll come right back. And it's like nothing happened. They just
like nothing happened. Like, hey, because they're literally on the time machine. So, hey, I'm going over here for, I want them to hang out in 1945, have a beer. I'm going to miss Rory. Rory makes Heatwave.
Yeah,
Heatwave character in the comics to me sucks. He was never that cool.
Same thing with Captain Cold or Citizen Cold. Like, to me, he was okay. I liked him more in like some of the animated stuff, but you know, I thought both those actors brought great.
They brought something to those characters. Like to me, I never saw it. We actually saw the parka on Captain Cold, so that was kind of cool. Yeah. Like we got little nods, but yeah, they just brought something different to the table. They made him more intelligent, more lovable, especially Rory. Like, he's a romance novelist, which still cracks me up. Like, oh yeah, I write all these romance novels, and he just drinks beer. I love that character. It's going to be sucking when he leaves, but again, you know, if Legends keeps going, they're going to keep adding, you know, different parts here and there. And
well, hopefully here soon. Hopefully here soon, HBO Max will get them all over, because I know, like right now, they have Batwoman, they have Lois and Clark. So I'm just waiting for the rest to kind of join suit, which will make HBO Max even better.
Let's hope they get that down the road. So
yep. So I've got two. My last two are a little controversial. Not to quote Eminem.
just did. just like the controversy.
Behind Warner Brothers' search for the new Superman, and we have news that yes, Warner Brothers is in the search for Black Superman. Tanisha Coates is a writer, and looks like while promoting the Amazon Prime Tom Clancy Without Remorse, Michael B. Jordan, we talked about this last week, you know, he had said, you know, he's flattered, but he just doesn't feel like that, you know, that should be done. But DC Superman under J.J. Abrams right now is still moving forward with, you know, a Black actor to play Superman. And I understand there is that Superman character loosely based off of Barack Obama, which, you know, I love that. I love that in the comic books. I just don't think it's going to be work so well on the big screen. And again, something that you and I talk about repeatedly. I'm trying not to spend much time on it, but there are so many great African-American Black characters in the DC universe that should get its time. You know, we've mentioned anything from the Milestone, the Dakota universe, a live action Black Lightning would be amazing. You know, a live action Better Steel would be amazing. If you want to take and be woke, WB, because basically it's kind of what they're doing. They're trying to be, you know, show that side of them. Take true original characters and make them that. Don't whitewash it or race change a character. Take something that African American and Black, you know, the Black community got behind, because that was a Black character or a Black comic book character, and that's the reason they started reading them. You know, we do know Static's getting, you know, made. I still don't know if it's going to be a TV show or a movie yet, but
I would take it as a series if they did it.
Either way, I mean, because again, I think they could introduce the Dakotaverse and open that world up. And you know, that was
he's the perfect one to intro it.
He's the one that introed it into the WB, you know, the animated series. And he's also the one that, you know, really, I mean, they all kind of came out together, but he was the bigger one out of the Milestone run. And that's just, I don't know. It's just my feeling. It's like, it's not about don't touch Superman, but it's give those characters their moment. We've had Superman around forever, you know, a version of Superman. Hell, and I guess it kind of, I can kind of be a little, you know, greedy at this point. Henry's been sitting down like a good boy, taking his vitamins and doing his workouts, waiting to step back into the boots, and folks still want to see that. So, I mean, I understand we had the meeting last year with, you know, the DC fandom. They said there will be multiverses. So if they keep Henry in and then bring this one in,
that's funny. But, yeah. You mentioned that, and I'm going to cut you off, but there's actually this tweet I wanted to read you, which is going to follow suit on everything you just said. This is by Brooks Z. Twitty, and he says, "But it's the multiverse. Henry is still the DCU Superman. I hear you, but that was their sentiment. Why is there no Henry Cavill Superman movie? Just as there is no DCU Batman movie in the works. The multiverse is just a cop-out to abandon what they don't want anymore."
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And to me, it is. That's what they're doing. And the only reason they're doing this Black Superman movie is because of the IP. Because people recognize that S.
That's what it is. That's
all it is.
It's a big cop out.
It's a big cop out, a big cash grab. You know, you could tell other stories with other Black heroes. It'd be perfectly just fine. Look at that. They're not going to make a Black Iron Man, right? You have Black, I mean, obviously you have Black Panther, but it's just the IP. And I'd like the Barack Obama Superman if they're doing that, or the Val Zod one, mm-hmm. which was being talked about, but they're not even doing any of those. They said they want to do Clark Kent or Kal-El. I'm like, it just makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Really, yeah, like you said, yeah, it's just the IP. Because it's got a name. They know people will jump to go see Superman. I think I've said this before on Facebook, it's kind of a slap in the face to the actor who's playing a hand-me-down character. Now, why not open up your comic books, look at what's in there, and go, oh, wow, man, that character could be... Yeah, well, we'll say it. I didn't want to bring him up, but Icon, he is Superman, basically. Take him. He's still an original character, but there's so much great plot, great storyline, and things that would hit home, especially right now in our culture. Not you know, race-swapping Superman. Bring us a Black character. I want to see a real, true, original Black character that's out there and slap him on the big screen. And that's what I want to see. And I'm not the only one. There's a YouTube guy. I love watching him. He's called Blur, the Black Nerd. And this week he actually had a huge talk about that. And you guys check him out online. He really kind of like echoes what we're saying. But I think coming from, you know, a Black man, it's got more weight than two middle-aged white dudes.
Pretty much. There's another comedian on my Facebook page. His name is Josh Prey. And he basically broke down this whole Superman thing too. He's like, why do we need a Black Superman? Why do that? All he said, he's like, the only thing you're doing, WB, is you're taking a coat of paint and putting a black guy in there. You're telling the exact same story. Nothing is going to be different. Why not take like you said, Icon? You can literally have two movies within one with an Icon movie. You could flash back to his era when he was a slave, all the trials and tribulations that he went there, that he had this power to kill all these people, but he chose not to do it. Mm-hmm. And you could flash forward to what he's doing now in the Milestone universe. There's a lot of things you could do. To me, that's a richer character than just putting Black Superman out there.
Yeah.
And I think even Michael B. Jordan knows that too. He's like, well, why? There's no story to tell. We have told this story thousands of times. The only thing you're doing is you're just changing race. It's a hot button topic, but
it is, yeah.
It's going to keep going because I'm on the side of just not having it. Do something different. Do something we have not.
Well, and I know the fight on one, the other side is it's a character. Let's see more comic book characters. Period. I was like, yeah, I guess more comic book characters. I just think time and energy is spent better to bring ones that aren't getting a spotlight. And guess what? Superman's got the spotlight. He's sharing the spotlight with Batman and Wonder Woman right now. I think bringing somebody up that would be make a mark and, you know, and hit home for somebody other than, you know, Superman fans.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what continues. Again, this is still in the infancy. They're still in the writing stages. Again, it is J.J. Abrams. He knows how to build universes. I will give that man. He knows how to build universes. It's what does he do with the universe once it's done? And we've, you know, there's another hot button you want to talk to any Star Wars fan out there. That's that's a, you know, a hot button right there, that of what he did for the last, you know, for the prequel or for the sequels. Not my top movies at all, you know, but you know, there's a group out there that, you know, they do love what he did. It's funny. There's a Facebook group I joined. It's called Non-Toxic Star Wars Fans, and I love that because I hate this toxic Star Wars fans.
Oh, just... man. I got kicked off a couple of those sites because it was just getting bad. It was getting, especially when The Last Jedi came out. Woo! It was like venom and
well,
fire.
Well, these guys are all non. They're non-toxic Star Wars fans, and they talk about their favorite list. And honestly, on those pages, strangely enough, Last Jedi or Rise of Skywalker is number one or number two, and it just throws me for a loop.
That's I don't know what movie they were watching. That's just insanity.
But you know, but again, that's their
that's your opinion. Hey,
you know, and I don't know their age. I don't know who they are. You know, things of that. So I mean, that's the one thing. You know, for us, when we talk about what we love what we grew up with. You talk to my son or even your daughter. You know, that their generation, they probably like the prequels a little bit better. You know,
that's
and then
they grew up on, yeah. That's
yeah and then,
much.
Of course, you know, now you have, you know, we're what, 6 years, 5-6 years since Force Awakens came out.
Yeah.
So you have now, you know, 6 years of maybe people that were 12 years old that are now adults. That's what they grew up with.
That's their Star Wars. Yeah. So, and I get it. It's a generational thing. It's one of those series that literally is a generational thing. You're going to have different opinions across the board. I'm always going to be about the OG series. It's never going to change. The new ones, I like some of the new ones. Like, to me, The Last Jedi is criminally underrated. I think it got a bad rap because it did something that the other Star Wars films didn't do. It took a chance. Now, did it work out in some areas? No, it didn't, but it took a risk. And I think, my God, I wish I had that conversation I had with Steve-O at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're just going off about The Last Jedi. It was insane, but you know, he started off good with The Force Awakens, and then, you know, depending on if you like Last Jedi or not, that's up to you. But to me, like, The Rise of Skywalker was just, it basically was saying, hey, you know what, guys, we messed up the last movie, so we're going to give you everything you want. Yeah. And I just didn't want that. Like, what? Like, the Emperor's alive? Why? Who? A granddaughter? Now they're not. It's just, you didn't have, forget it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't talk about it.
So you got anything else?
I think I have one more thing because I know we're getting ridiculously close to an hour here. What do I have here? Oh, I just finished watching Jupiter Legacy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah.
It all came out, right? I know it's Netflix, so Netflix does the dump, right? They do all the episodes.
They did the dump. They did it. So I binge-watched.
How many episodes?
It's eight.
Okay.
Eight, about 45 minutes an hour. It's interesting the way they did it, and I think I told you this yesterday when we were doing our midnight movies. They take the idealism of what Superman is back then in the 30s, you know, truth, justice, the American way, no killing, you know, stand for this, don't kill the villains, right? Don't kill them at all, you know, just lock them up. They take that sentiment that they started in the 20s, because when they got their powers, it was literally 1929, right after the stock market crash, right? They became these omnipresent powerful beings. Trying to bring that same idealism to today, it's where the big question comes in, because then it's like, well, these superheroes, they can kill these villains. They can stop them at any time, but they choose not to. And these villains escape. And what do? They go on and kill other people. It's almost like the Batman question with the Joker. And that is a continual thread that keeps going on to the entire series, which I love a lot, because it takes that question of Superman's morality, you know. Why is he so moral? Why does he keep having these ways that are old school and he's not adapting to today? And like some of the characters you see, like his wife go through it, his son go through it, and the father is holding on to that belief because that's the way he believes in it. Like, you know, this is what we do. This is the code. He keeps talking about it. The code always must be maintained. And then his wife questions it like, but that was 60 years ago that code was relevant. It's not relevant today. And that begs the question, what do you do with these powers? Do you want to rule the people or you just want to help humanity? And it's they dive into that question so good. The ending, did not expect to where it went or where it's going. Hopefully it's going to be renewed for season two because they left it a little bit of a cliffhanger. But I love the hell out of it. And that question of morality coming into nowadays age is an interesting story. That's what I told you, like the Boy Scout theory. You're trying to bring that ideal from that time to here. I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, that is kind of an interesting question because when you think about what we have as superheroes, most of their morales, like you said, 50s, 60s, you know, Superman, Batman, that rule that they have, their golden rule for both of them, that they follow, or golden rules, because they each have different rules. And then you look at, you know, Brightburn and the Boys, Invincible, how now stories being written now are showing that there can be black and whites when it comes to what a superhero does. You know, nowadays they're asking the question is, what would you do if you were the bad guy, but you had these powers? And it almost sounds like that Jupiter Rising is actually saying that, asking that question, and but doing it from starting from ground one or stage one, where they are the clean cut, you know, guys. And they're like, yeah, maybe this isn't working for us anymore. You know, this isn't, you know, our rules anymore. And we need to change because guess what? Society's changing and society's laws are changing. So yeah, I really could kind of dig that. I'll have to.
It's really, when you see it, like, and the characters I think are great. I think Josh Duhamel does a great job as Utopia. The kids are pretty good too, but like just a lot of those subplots and that question, it's always that thread in every single episode. So I think it's definitely a watch, and it's only 8 episodes. You get through pretty fast, but definitely check it out. It's well worth the watch. And like I said, that question, man, just can you carry that over to today's time? And I don't think you can. Like you said, the truth is always in that gray area. There's always that gray part that nobody sees, that you got to do what you got to do. And so,
but definitely check that. Yeah, definitely I will. So my last one, and this one's kind of interesting. Mandalorian is reportedly pushing Gina Carano for an Emmy Awards consideration. She's no longer part of the Disney family, you know, let go because of, you know, the things that were said on her post, which you and I have had that discussion that I, in a way, we both sort of agree that, you know, I work for a company, you work for a company, we signed a contract to work for that company. If we do something that company says is wrong, it looks bad for that company, they can let us go. And trust me, I bet you Disney, DC, Warner Brothers, all those big companies, they all got those rules and probably a lot worse than what we had to follow.
Oh yeah. Tons. It's FDAs and all that freaking contract signings. It's a lot.
Yeah. So, but apparently, you know, we're going to have the Emmys coming up here shortly. And a lot of times the companies and shows will put out, you know, posters and say, hey, you know, support our characters, you know, get behind our actors. If you liked what we did and what they did, you know, and you'll keep them in there. And for consideration, it's a poster. It's got, you know, a Mando walking, you know, through a little valley, and it's got, you know, lead actor Pedro Pascal, supporting actress Giancarlo Esposito, Tamaran Morrison, and then for supporting actress Gina Carano. So they still, for her work, they're trying to recognize her. And I know that's going to cause some problems because people are like, well, they let her go because of this. Yeah. Yes, they let her go because of what she broke, what they wanted, you know, they broke the rules, but they're still going to support her and the work she did, which I'm not a Disney mark by any stretch. You and I have our friends that are, but I kind of like, I sort of see the respect for it. I don't know if this was Disney themselves or if maybe this was, you know, Filoni, Favreau, you know, kind of like, hey, you know what, we need to show them love because guess what, even though she's not here anymore, she got us here. I mean, she was a big part of getting the show there.
She was one of the founding pillars in that show, and it's good for her. Hopefully she'll get more things to do in the future, which I think she will. And it sucks she's not going to come back, but hey, like I said, when you get hired from a company and you violate those rules, you're going to get fired. You sign a contract. Don't do this. Don't embarrass the company. She did it. Hey, I get you are entitled to your opinion. Of course, do it like, you know, but if you're working for that company, not a good sign. That's like me going this and going blasting my company I work. You know, these guys suck, you know, I'm just naming names and guess what? I'm fired. So it's just,
yeah. So. And especially Disney. I mean, Disney's a very tight wound company. They, their stockholders and everything. I remember I was working for a company that was subcontracted by Disney, and you had to be clean cut and everything. You had to follow the Disney look to work for this company who subcontracted to Disney. It doesn't mean you were going to go out to Disney and do this work. They just happen to be part of them, and you might, you know, one day you get a call, hey, you need to go out to Disney to, you know, to step up and help out with this. And you had to look the part. And I mean, so I get, you know, where, how Disney is and everything, but I also agree with, you know, there has to be some freedom of speech, and you just got to tiptoe around it. Just like we're here. I mean, we can't say much. We can get in trouble for some of the things we say, even though, you know, we don't have, you know, sponsors or anything like that. Hint, hint. But, you know, we could still catch some hell, and we could be kicked off of any of the platforms that we're on.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's a slippery slope that we're on. And it's just the era that we're living in right now. It's just this cancel culture, social sensitivity. It's just, it's here now. And you just, nothing you could do about it. And like everything goes through waves and goes through cycles. And hopefully this will cycle out eventually and we'll get out of this on the other side. But yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for hanging out with us for issue 45. What the hell am I talking about? I don't want 14. 114. It's been a long weekend, or too short of a weekend. Let me say that.
Way too short for me. I know that.
All right, guys. Well, make sure you guys do check us out. This week we will be dropping on Midnight Movies. We will be dropping Rocky. That's right. We're doing our 70s this month for May, and we did a review for Rocky. Check it out. We had a blast doing it. And the week after, you will be seeing a watch along for the original 1971 Willy Wonka. And if anybody's up for, you know, doing a watch along with us, watch that. And if you guys are interested, just reach out to Kane or I and we can get you signed up. We may hopefully have some more guests in the future.
Yeah, and like I said, anybody's welcome to join. We usually do them on Saturdays, so, you know, just, you don't need equipment. You really don't. If a phone, just basically need this. If you got a phone, you're good. Everything else we can take care of.
So phone and a TV, and we can get you. We can get you there.
And you watch along. That's all you really need. You don't need anything fancy like we got here. I mean, if you want to get that down the road, it's fine. But come in and join. You know, it's a fun time, especially when we're watching Willy Wonka. Brought back a lot of nice things, and then my negativity toward the remake. Oh, a lot of venom about that one. Yeah. So.
King got a little poopy on that one.
I got a little poopy on that one.
Ooh, all right, guys. Well, make sure you do check us out also on our social media networks on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And how do you get there?
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum _podcast. Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. Also, guys, check out Lobos and Chair Shots, my other podcast I do with Hotshot. Sometimes just go over here. And as always, from Mike to me to you to everybody else, have a good week and get to the asylum.
May the force be with you.
Always.